Thank you, Mr. Maston. Happy Sabbath. I hope everyone's feeling well, and those of you watching on the Cybercast, I hope everybody's well and feeling even better. We miss you worshiping with us in person, and we desire to have you with us as soon as you're able. Today I'm going to share with you a message derived from the lives of the first three kings of Israel. There are lessons to be learned from them that is prudent for us to behoove, that is fitting to learn from, and adjust our lives as necessary for moving toward the kingdom. The title of this message is Lessons from the First Three Kings of Israel. All those called by him to him are admonished to learn from the mistakes, bad behavior, and successes involving those who are mentioned in the Holy Scriptures. We know this familiar verse, and I invite you to read it together. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11. New King James Version renders it. Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Now this verse is even more telling for us today in this 21st century than it was for the Corinthians in the first century. Now let us begin our recount of the events beginning in Numbers 13 and 14 that led to the reign of human kings ruling over Israel. Most of us know that after the children of Israel were led out of Egypt by God's strong right arm, there were not very many soft hearts among them. Consequently, after weeks of traveling and camping, 12 men from 11 tribes and Joshua were sent to spy out the promised land and return after 40 days. 10 of the spies were faithless and cried to the throngs of people desiring to hear the report. Statements of great things desired in the promised land, and then warnings not to enter the promised land. There were giants in that land. There were fierce warriors in that land. We will be destroyed. The people were worked up. So when the other two spies, Joshua and Caleb, who were righteous and faithful to God, spoke the truth. Sure, there are giants and fierce warriors there, but we have the Almighty God on our side. And just as God protected us from the mighty Egyptians and since leaving Egypt, he will do the same now. We don't have anything to fear. We can go in and take the promised land and all the bounteous spoils the promised land has to offer, just as you see what we have here displayed. The people were weak and faithless and did not believe in God, but were afraid and refused to go into the promised land. No, they wanted to choose a man to lead them back into Egypt. When Joshua and Caleb again attempted to persuade the people to listen to God and to go take the land, the people said to stone Joshua and Caleb. Then God in the cloud descended and spoke and said he would destroy the tribes and start over with Moses. Remember, even though Moses was 80 years old at that time, he did not doubt the Lord's intent. Moses is one whom God called his friend, being a good example for us, was immediately in open prayer to God on behalf of the people. God pardoned the people, but said those who were 20 years and older would not enter the promised land, would die in the wilderness. The children, those under 20 years old, would enter the promised land. It was 1 year for each day the lying spies were in the promised land. The children of Israel would wander and die in the wilderness before the remnant would enter the promised land. For the next 40 years, Moses was the primary judge. Upon entering the promised land, Joshua became the judge. And so the period of the judges began and lasted until the death of Samuel's sons. However, the elders of Israel came to Samuel, this is in 1 Samuel chapter 8, and said to him, "You are old, and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations." Well, of course, we who know these accounts remember that Samuel went to God in prayer to complain. But God said, "They have not rejected you. They have rejected me, that I should not reign over them." You see, God had been reigning over them through the judges all along. So God led Samuel to Saul, son of Kish, to be the first human king of Israel. And he was anointed and filled with the Spirit. In Hebrews, the name Saul, or Shaul, means asked for or demanded. His relatively short reign was filled with personal turmoil. After a period of time of humility and self-control, he became disobedient with self-will, making rash vows, and did not repent when Samuel rebuked him. Saul became jealous of the younger David and hunted him to harm him. Saul visited the witch at Endor after forbidding the people to not associate with such superstitiousness. His son, Jonathan, was killed in battle, and he was wounded. And not wanting to be humiliated by the enemy, he ended up committing suicide. You can read about this in 1 Samuel chapters 10 through 31. David, whose name means beloved, was anointed as the second king of Israel over Judah first for 7 years, then over all Israel for 33 more. His reign lasted 40 years. Then he died full of years. David's reign was marked by great success, but marred by deplorable incidents regarding family, such as rape and rebellion, and eventually adultery and murder. When David was approached by the prophet Nathan, told an account of a rich man totally abusing his lowly neighbor and taking his soul-loving possession, David was incensed and pronounced judgment of recompense and death. Then Nathan told David that he was that man. David's immediate response was full acknowledgement and heartfelt repentance to God. That repentance carried on the rest of his life as his heart returned to seek God's own heart. God inspired to write Psalms 32 and 51 for David and all of our benefits. When the newborn child with Bathsheba was very sick, unto death foretold by God, David fully humbled himself and fasted for 7 days, in the same manner as Job, in my opinion. When God's judgment was complete and his son died, who will have his chance at redemption in the second resurrection, David ended his fast and he resumed his duties. David lived out his life full of blessings from God. With great riches and fame, David saved up a huge amount of wealth with the intent to build God a house for when he visited. And we know that God said to David that his son would build the house, not David. David accepted this and died in peace. Solomon, David's son, was anointed as the third human king over Israel. Solomon means peace or peaceable. He was the 10th son and second son of Bathsheba to David. He was instantly crazy wealthy and began to spend the riches in grand fashion with various types of gardens and palaces and such, which would last his lifetime. He began to heavily tax the people to make up for the needs for the temple he had yet to start building. He made his heartfelt prayer to God, asking only for wisdom, which pleased God. And God granted that wisdom that nobody else born of man and woman before him or since will be that wise. Plus, God gave him great wealth. In his fourth year of reign, he did begin to build the temple. When it was completed, Solomon had accrued such debt to Hiram that he gave him 20 towns in Galilee. That's in 1 Kings chapter 9. Now, Solomon's downfall was due to his lust for women. He even married an Egyptian daughter of the Pharaoh. He succumbed to their will to sacrifice to their gods and even built an altar just east of the temple. He had 700 wives and 300 concubines and loved them more than the Lord. It is sad we find no mention in the Holy Scriptures of Solomon repenting. No songs of praise. The teachers' writings in Ecclesiastes, like all of God's breathed oracles, are truth. We don't know if Solomon repented since he did die with all those pagan worshiping wives and concubines. The simple lessons among others to be learned from the first three human kings of Israel are what we today know to be true for us. One, seek first the kingdom of God. Two, we're to love God with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind. Three, when we are confronted with the fact that we have sinned, we must repent, turn away from, and strive not to sin again. And four, lastly, we must be habitually walking with God every waking moment. In conclusion, Saul missed the mark. David finished his race. And Solomon did not leave a lifelong example for us to follow. Have we fully learned these lessons? Let's be committed for the rest of our lives so we can be saved. Have a wonderful rest of the Sabbath.